The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
Brought to you by Ed's Pet World. It is time for Dark Side of the Pooch. Ed's Pet World's been around for nearly 50 years. Seth and Angie, the entire crew down there, are wonderful. It's got me a pair of nice guinea pigs. I have a very interesting guinea pig story this week there, Dr. Rab Stewart, from the Rossbridge Animal Hospital. You ever had guinea pigs?
I've never had any guinea pigs. But, you know, I think when you start the show with, brought to you by Ed's Pet World, for some reason, I thought about Wayne's World and Noah's Arcade. I think it's Wayne's World 2. Yeah. No, it's not Wayne's World 2. It's Wayne's World 1. It's the original Wayne's World.
Yeah.
I think where they where Noah's Arcade becomes a sponsor and absolutely. They bring in Noah and they like give him a good ribbing.
It's what makes radio go, baby, is sponsorships.
I love it.
We do thank Ed's Pet World. Not only do they do exotic pets like guinea pigs and sugar gliders, and my daughter wants a chinchilla. I don't know if that's going to happen. I'm turning into my own Ed's Pet World here at the Tony Curry Radio Studios. I should bring all my animals in the studio one time and just do the show with it, and you'd just be amazed how loud it is. But they also have, of course, Seth's toy closet. It's amazing. Half that place now is now toys. And of course, he's opening up his own brick and mortar. We'll give you some more details on that when it happens. 879-1331, 879-1331. So I will start with this guinea pig. I will tell you, and I think I told you what I did to my daughter. She's always pranking me. So I pranked her back. She had a pair of gerbils, and one was black and one was black and white. And I went down to Ed's and they had two guinea pigs that were the exact same colors. One was all black and the other one was black and white. And so I've been kind of ramping her up the last 3 or 4 weeks, telling her that I thought her gerbils were pregnant. And of course, they're both female, so that's an impossibility. But I said, you know, I hear that right before they give birth, they get really, really big. And so I was taking some pictures really close to make her think that these gerbils had gotten really large. And then when she came over, I took the gerbils out, put these two guinea pigs in. And obviously, guinea pigs are about 10 times the size of a gerbil, set my camera up and just stepped away and didn't say a word. And she was pranked big time. She's like, where'd their tails go? What happened? And I'm like, I don't know what happened. She goes, these look like guinea pigs. What happened to my gerbils? And she's getting them out. Anyway, so obviously I kept the guinea pigs. I would say outside a dog, that guinea pigs are the most sociable animals I've ever been around. I cannot believe I've had these things for about 3 weeks. Dr. Rab, these things talk to me. They tell me when they're hungry. They come to me when I call their name. And I've only had it for 3 weeks. It's the most amazing animal I think I've ever seen. I'm just telling you.
Guinea pigs are cool. They're big. You know, I mean, they get to be big. They're a lot of fun. My kid brought home 3 crawfish.
Really?
And from school, like it was their, you know, the school's coming, you know, the school year's ending. So all these classroom pets have to find a home.
Yeah.
And he came home with 1 crawfish and it's in this tiny little plastic container with nothing in there but rocks and water.
Yeah.
And I said, man, we need to just go take this to the creek and let it go.
It'll die.
He said, oh, no.
It'll die.
No, no. Yeah. The teacher said that these were grown. They're not wild. They'll never make it. And I said, well, right. This thing's going to be miserable. So he went back to school and he got 2 more from his teacher. So now we have 3 crawfish. And then it hit me like just out of the blue the other day. It's like, man, I eat these things.
Yeah.
Like, you get many more. Your
daddy's having a crawfish boil over at the Rab's house.
The world's worst crawfish boil. Hey, let's have 3 crawfish. Crawfish that, you know, my kid brought home from school.
Oh, that's hilarious. So a woman in Scotland, this story came down yesterday, recently spent $200 to get her guinea pig a hysterectomy. She said people thought she was crazy for doing it. She said, but it's the most lovable animal she's ever had. It sleeps with her. It has just pure run of the loft she lives in. It's not caged up. She said, it comes to me when I say its name. It sleeps near my face at nighttime. It's 20 years old. And so she gave it a hysterectomy. So that's going to go along with Bruce and Hoover. info@tonycurryradio.net. info@tonycurryradio.net. What's the most Dr. Rab's ever seen anyone spend on their animal for one procedure and or illness? And I'll expand this because I know you own your own place now, but you worked at several other places. But say in your entire career, your entire life, what's the most you've ever seen someone spend on their dog or cat?
When I was at another job, my job previous to this, There was a dog that had a neurological condition that needed to see a neurologist. So, a veterinary neurologist is just like a human neurologist. They do the nervous system. That's what they specialize in. And this dog had a really strange neurological condition. It was my case, and so we sent it to Auburn, and they left Auburn just north of $10,000.
Wow. In one sitting.
And this has been, I mean, probably not quite 10 years ago, but probably getting close to 10 years ago. And so I don't even remember what all they did, but I know it was lots of hospitalization, lots of advanced imaging, like CT scans. And when you do a CT scan on an animal, they have to be anesthetized. I know for a fact that they did some CSF taps. And so, again, they have to be anesthetized for that. And that's just, it's a spinal tap.
Yeah.
A CSF tap is a spinal tap. So that's the biggest bill that I know of.
And
Probably like for what I've done in my career, probably, I mean, maybe 3,000 at the most, and
yeah.
that's probably even overestimating.
Yeah. Do you
I
work?
think that'd probably be a pretty safe estimate for anything that I've ever done.
Not to
One ticket.
put you on the spot, do you take a payment plan?
Usually not. It kind of just depends on the situation.
Yeah.
In our industry, payment plans a lot of times don't work out. You
Yeah.
hand the pet back over, and then you don't see him again.
Right.
So it's an unfortunate part of both sides. Like I hate the fact that we have to collect from people.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I wish it wasn't that way, but it is. It's our livelihood. I wish the world was different, but
Well,
that's where we're at.
let's get real here. What would happen if someone brought you in a pet that had a procedure that needed to be done on it that could obviously save its life, and the chances of that happening were very, very good, but they couldn't afford to pay for it. What would they would they just hand the animal over to you? What would you do with that animal at that point in time? What would happen then? Would you just save it and then have it adopted, or how does that work?
Most of the time, people just, they take the pet with them and just say, okay.
Okay.
Like
Yeah.
recently, we had an example where this was a case that was referred to us by someone else, and we, did the recommended needed stuff and came to the conclusion that the dog needed to have surgery to have its spleen removed. And in some cases, when you do that, if it's cancerous or if it's benign, the spleen still needs to come out, and in most cases they can live a long time once their spleen's removed.
Yeah.
But the owner didn't want to do that. So of course we say, okay, well, if anything ever changes, let us know. But she took that dog home with her. The thing about like if someone wants to surrender their dog to you, let's say if you go ahead and do that surgery, I always wonder kind of what if the owner is going to come back and say, I want my dog back or my
Yeah.
cat back,
You'd have to
or
sign something over, I guess, huh?
yeah. And then the other thing is like people, and I know this wasn't your question, but it just kind of sparked a thought. There have been cases of people where they are under the impression that they are leaving their pet at a veterinary practice for euthanasia because they can't afford some type of service.
Yeah.
And then let's say that practice decides to go ahead and do the service anyway, and then they'll have the dog and they can do whatever they want to with the dog. They can keep it or they can give it away or whatever. That's a very bad idea.
Yeah.
Because I think I'm sure there's some litigation that has been, done in the past. So you have to just kind of be careful. And, we tell people, hey, this is what it's going to cost to get a certain thing done. And then if they have questions about how, that looks, then, we're happy to answer them.
All right, this is really good. I'm going to go a little deeper here. So you talked about spleens. I know we can live without a spleen. We can live without one of our kidneys. Can dogs and cats live without certain organs in their bodies? And can you have organ donors? Do you do transplants?
No, we don't do it. We don't do transplants, but they can, dogs and cats. I mean, there are several things that they can live without. Cats, they can, I mean, dogs and cats, they can have their spleen removed. They can have part of the liver removed. They can have some of their, portions of their lung removed. They can have portions of their GI tract removed. And, anything that they have two of, they can lose. You know, they got two eyes, you can lose one. Two kidneys, you can lose one. They got four legs, you can amputate one. You know, they can live without their tail. They can live without their teeth. You know, there's lots of things they can live without.
right.
You know, the cats have like a super, sometimes they have a super hyperactive thyroid gland. So you can, you know, you can basically radiate their thyroid gland. You're not removing it, you know, but you're just radiating it. But you can remove portions of the thyroid gland. So, you know, it's like Mr. Potato Head.
There you go. Dr. Rab Stewart, he, of course, the Rossbridge Animal Hospital at Rossbridge Vet on Twitter, the Rossbridge Animal Hospital on Facebook as well. They're out there in Rossbridge. They do fantastic work. I love them. We got a lot of your questions here. info@tonycurryradio.net. You can listen to Dark Side of the Pooch. We actually have a question about Dark Side of the Pooch, the title of the show. We'll get into it a little bit later on the show. You're going to love this question. We'll get into that. Brought to you by Ed's Pet World, 50 years in the business down there in Homewood, 879-1331. And, of course, you can call Rossbridge Animal Hospital at 205-208-0301. Saw this really interesting story before we get into some more emails, and I don't know what took us so long. Because, you know, I do a show called Mission Minded with Michael Coleman, who I think you know from the Jimmy Hell Mission. Now he's with the Montgomery Area Food Bank. They do wonderful work. They cover 35 counties in the state of Alabama. They work through Feeding America. The UK has recently adopted the Animal Food Bank. What a great idea. We keep hearing about people are giving their animals away because they can't afford things because of recessions, inflations, and hard to find jobs and everything else. But they're now feeding families so people don't have to get rid of their pets, which I think is a great idea. Kim in Frankfurt wanted to know if you know of anything in the United States along those same lines. She wants to keep her three dogs. Things are really tight. She has three children. She said, is there any way she can get some free dog food?
The dog food companies that we use are really liberal, you know, with their product. Like if something expires, on our shelves, then they'll take it back. So, you know, I wonder if
How long does dog
getting
food last,
into,
by the way? Hard dog food.
I mean, it lasts for months and months and months. I mean, I can check our dates, but I mean, usually it's like at least a year. But I mean, it seems like a lot of these dog food companies w could do something like that, you know. You know, I don't know if there's any way to get in touch with some of those reps. But I mean, that'd be the first place that I would start. Hey, can I just get some expired dog food
And I'm going totally off the
for my
page.
pets?
I'm going totally off the page here, and I know you don't work for Purina, but how expensive is it to make dog food? It does not seem like it would be that hard or that expensive to make. And I know you buy like a 50-pound bag and it's like $27. It's cheap already, but I would think that there would be plenty of it around, right?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, I would think that the margins on dog food would be pretty high. We don't sell just routine food at our practice. We sell prescription diets, so diets that are specific for certain disease processes like hepatitis or you know, renal disease or dermatitis or you know, just you know, a list of various ailments. But so, you know, those like our margins on that are very small. Like, so what the dog food companies tell us to charge for is really tell what the dog food company tells us to charge is really not much more than what I pay to buy the food. So our margins are really small on dog and cat food, but I would bet that, you know, Purina and Hill's and Royal Canin, I would bet their margins are pretty good.
I would probably have to agree with you. He's Dr. Rab Stewart, Rossbridge Animal Hospital. I'm Tony Curry. This is Dark Side of the Pooch. You're here at least 5 days a week here on the TKR app. Thanks to 100,000 plus who have downloaded the app. And of course, you can hear us on every major industry when it comes to podcast. info@tonycurryradio.net. Tabitha in Birmingham wants to know, do dogs have psychologists? Can dogs go to therapy? I think we've actually discussed this in the past. And what's usually their biggest issue?
So veterinarians they can do more school to like you know they can do a residency in behavior and so they can be board certified behaviorist and so that's probably the closest thing that there would be to a therapist. Yeah, there was a follow-up. What was the follow-up there, Tony?
What's the biggest issue for dogs that would go to a doggy psychologist?
The
Anxiety?
separation anxiety and fear aggression probably the two main things that dogs struggle with and We mainly talk about dogs in this, this kind of realm. So they either have fear aggression, so they're just afraid of things, and when they get afraid of things, they lash out and bite because, they're afraid. And then they also have separation anxiety, where when their owner leaves, they get really afraid. Cats are a lot more independent, and they don't, cats really don't struggle with these same kind of problems that dogs do. But those are the two main things, and I think most emotional problems can be linked to those two things.
All right. Info at TonyCurryRadio.net. Dan and Fairhope wants to know, this is a pretty interesting question because we know that animals have a lot of the same issues that humans have, but does poor air quality affect our pooch?
Yeah, it can.
Good.
I mean, there's all kind of studies that show that dogs that live with smokers, like especially people who smoke in the house, they can get chronic bronchitis and lung cancer.
Really?
So, I don't know of any studies that have to do with pollution outside, but there's tons of stuff that show that secondhand smoke in dogs leads to chronic bronchitis and cancer. So I would assume that poor air quality, air pollution would have some effect on them too.
Now, Stacy in Avondale wants to know, she's wanting to take her Australian Shepherd, this is right up my alley, in for a summer cut, and she's being told not to get her Australian Shepherd cut down because the hair won't grow back the same, it'll never look the same. I go in and get my dog cut about once every 2 months. He loves it. I use a 4 on him, which is pretty doggone short. It helps with his shedding. He doesn't shed anymore. He seems to really like it. It keeps him clean. He looks unbelievably beautiful. He almost looks like a Doberman when you cut him down. He looks fantastic, and it grows back just like it normally does. Are there some breeds that you don't ever want to have their hair cut?
No, I think that maybe one thing that she is hearing, sometimes dogs, we mentioned cats having a hyperactive thyroid, but dogs will have an inactive thyroid, where the thyroid hormone isn't producing as much hormone as it used to. And dogs that have that condition, they will, if they're shaved down, hair may grow back in kind of strange patterns. It may grow back in some areas and then not grow back in others. So, I mean, there is some truth to that, but if it doesn't grow back the way that it looked before it was cut, there's probably some medical reason for it. So I wouldn't let that deter me personally from having my dog, shaved close.
And I'm just telling you, my Australian Shepherd didn't shed for a couple of years, and all of a sudden it just shed. It was like I had tumbleweeds going across the floor, and it didn't matter how much I swept up. I moved into a brand new studio with shag carpets all over the place, and I'm like, okay, this has got to end. And ever since I started having him shaved, I haven't seen a lick of a hair anywhere in the house. So it works. So and it seems like the dogs, it would keep them a little cooler, right? Just a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, so there's some there is information out there that certain breeds with long hair, it kind of helps them stay cool, which, to be honest, I don't really
Really?
understand that whole thing. But apparently there is some science that backs it up. But they're not, like, long hair isn't going to keep them cooler than not having any hair at all.
Really?
So that, that's not gonna, you're if you want your dog to be cool, then cut their hair,
Speaking of
so.
hair, have you ever seen a green polar bear?
I've never seen a polar bear, period.
Really? You know, I think we might have had one at the Birmingham Zoo for a very short period of time, but if you ever see a green polar bear, that's normal because their hair follicles are hollow, and they get algae inside their
Oh.
hair follicles. See, you learn things here. Yeah,
Wow.
I know a lot about animal hair, and also I've sat on an elephant, and I realize that the hair on an elephant are like toothpicks. If you ever sit on an elephant, make sure you wear 2 pairs of pants. It's not very comfortable.
Did you use what hair to pick your teeth? Did you just pluck one of those bad
No,
boys
but
out?
they kept telling me wear 2 pairs of pants, and I was like, because I was like, why? I'm going to be riding. When the Barnum and Bailey Circus used to come to town, they would go down Railroad Park, and they would let the elephants off flatbed trucks or off of boxcars, and we would ride them up 20th Street to the BJCC. And it was something I did for my show, and I do my show live on the back of an elephant, and they'd always tell me to wear 2 pairs of pants. And the hairs on the back of elephants, their hairs grow about twice as fast as human hair, and they're sharp. It's like sitting on needles, man. You don't want to screw with an elephant in his back hair. I'm just telling you.
You know, there's an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm where Larry David flosses with human hair, but that's a different story. I don't know if we can get into that.
Probably not. He's Dr. Rab Stewart, Rossbridge Animal Hospital, Rossbridge Vet on Twitter, the Rossbridge Animal Hospital on Facebook, their website, of course. 208-0301. They're the best. Let's get into Zach. I want to ask this question. He said, I listen to the show every week. He thinks it's a hoot. He laughs through a lot of it. He doesn't have any pets, but he wants to know, who came up with Dark Side of the Pooch? Is Dr. Rab a huge Pink Floyd fan? And what is his favorite album cover?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say I'm the hugest Pink Floyd fan. I mean, I really like Pink Floyd a lot. And I came up with that.
You did. It was
that
awesome.
Title. And I remember I came up with it because I remember exactly where I was, because we had had this conversation about, you know, the exciting thing that you were going to do and are still doing. And so I was putting my son to bed, and
it's just been 3.5 years.
Yeah. So my son,
you were my first show. Yeah.
Yeah. My son would have been 5. And so I was laying in bed with him, putting him to bed, and I was just thinking about how can we incorporate a classic rock, a quintessential classic rock album with the title. And yes. It just kind of had, it doesn't really rhyme, but it's got kind of an alliteration with pooch and moon. And I was like, oh, I think this would be great. Because I do love Pink Floyd, but there's probably a lot more people out there that like them more than I do. But there was a time where I was really into Pink Floyd, and I would watch, I think it was, I was probably an undergrad, and I got The Wall, you know, the actual movie. And I watched it over and over and over again. And I think about the scene with Another Brick in the Wall. The kids are wearing those crazy masks, and just how how weird it is. And it's just the, you know, Roger Waters, I think there's a huge, you know, rift in that band with him and David Gilmour. But those two guys, you put them together, and they're, I mean, it's not like, it's not Lennon and McCartney by any stretch, I don't think, but just no. You put those musical minds together, and the stuff they could come up with, it's just brilliant. And the concept albums that they came out with, Animals and The Wall. And, there's somewhat of a concept nature to Dark Side of the Moon. You know, it's a lot about life and death. So it's just, they're brilliant. Album cover, oh man, there's been so many great ones. Pink Floyd has some great ones. I don't know that I could pick just one. Sergeant Pepper, you know, we're talking about Beatles too. I mean, that might be the most famous ever. That's a great album cover.
Yeah.
So there's no, I don't know if I could pick just one.
No, I'm with you. Have you ever done the Dark Side of the Moon Wizard of Oz matchup?
No, I've never done it because I never wanted to devote that much time to Wizard of Oz. Because I had a lady that kept me, like, she was my babysitter for the time that I was like young until I started school. We would like watch that movie every week at her house when I was a little kid, and I can't watch that movie. I can't watch it one more time.
Yeah, I hear you. It's pretty amazing. We actually did a night down at the comedy club Stardome. And if you start Dark Side of the Moon right after the third MGM Lion Roar, a lot of people say that album was created for Wizard of Oz. Obviously, it was not, but it is amazing. But then again, I think if you play any album over the Wizard of Oz, it will match up at some point somewhere along the way. It's because there's so much weird crap in Wizard of Oz. That's a great one. He's Dr. Rab Stewart, Rossbridge Animal Hospital, 208-0301. We are into the summer months. My kids are out of school later this week, and Stacy in Phoenix has 6 dogs. She has never had to board her animals, but she doesn't have any neighbors that are willing to watch her 6 animals for 8 days as they go out of the country later on this summer. She said, what are we looking for when we want to board our pets at a veterinarian's office? What are some of the important signs to look for? And what do our dogs need to be doing while we're gone? Is it important that they go out and run every single day? Are they okay to sit inside a cage for 6 days? What are some of the deals?
It depends on the dog. Some dogs love to, first of all, let me say that, there's boarding facilities that are attached to veterinary practices like ours. And then there's boarding facilities that are not, they're not associated with a veterinary practice. They're just a boarding facility. And I mean, there's pros and cons to both. These boarding facilities, some of them are 100% indoor, so you can, they can run and play no matter what the weather is, if it's hot, cold, raining, whatever. But just for me personally, I would rather keep my pet somewhere where if it got sick, there'd be somebody there that could take care of it. So that's the pro of boarding in a veterinary setting. But pets that have never been boarded, especially if they're older, they may not like it, just being honest, because they're going to be in an environment that can, no matter where you board them, it's going to be loud and it's going to be hectic and there's going to be a lot going on. Some dogs will, in that environment, they really want to get out and run and play, and other dogs are freaked out by it. So I think the best advice that I could give her is before you take, your six pets and drop them off for, over a week, you might want to try dropping them off just for the day and letting them do some daycare and see how they do. At least get them warmed up to it. So that when you do leave them for an extended period of time, they're, somewhat acclimated to the area.
All right. Info at TonyCurryRadio.net. We get to all your emails. We do it every single week. Thanks to the fine folks at Ed's Pet World, Seth and Angie, the entire crew. They do a wonderful job down there. You're looking for any exotic pet for the summer or anytime, they'll make sure that, and I mentioned the two guinea pigs I got. They're Smokey and Bandit, by the way. I love those. I came up with the name of that. They're fantastic. So get all your exotic pets down there. And of course, they also do all kinds of great stuff from toys, everything from unboxed stuff to watches to Star Wars stuff to Legos, you name it. They got it down there at Ed's Pet World. This one kind of speaks to me. Mona in Knoxville has a poodle. She says, what's the best way to keep my dog from barking? We've talked about bark collars. She explains here, and I'll paraphrase. She's got a poodle. It's in a crate. She leaves it in a crate overnights, and it's starting to bark every morning when she gets up out of bed, and it wakes the kids up before they have to go to school. And she doesn't know how to keep her dog barking. It's as soon as she starts walking down the stairs, the dog starts barking in the other room. She's like, hush, be quiet, no bark, no bark. And by the time she gets the crate, it stops barking, so it can't be disciplined. How can she do that?
Well, I would wonder if she can't. I mean, this is maybe an oversimplification, but if she could just move the crate closer, rather than downstairs, could she move it, upstairs somewhere or in her room or other than that, you could, like you mentioned, you could get one of these collars that has a remote to it, and when the dog starts barking, you can hit that remote, and maybe over time you can teach the dog not to bark, and if it barks, it's going to get a little bit of a reprimand, and you can do that from a distance. I mean, you can do that from across the house. So if the pet can't be moved, across the house, so it either doesn't bark or doesn't wake up the kids, then maybe the collar would be a good option.
All right, one last question from Tone the Bone here. My Australian Shepherd is the best dog I've ever had, but when I do take him for walks, he pulls incessantly. It's the point where, and my body can't take it anymore. I mean, it's not even fun to walk him because he pulls so hard. So I started using the prong collar again, and it worked brilliantly. It's unbelievable how well that prong collar works on him. And I used it for about three or four times. I take him to Spain Park, walk him around the lake three or four times. It's wonderful. He walks right beside me. It's beautiful. It's great. But the minute I take that prong collar off and put his regular collar back on, he starts pulling again. Am I missing something? Because, or should I just use the prong collar from here on out?
Yeah, just the prong collar all the time. Because
okay.
He knows it's the prong that keeps him from pulling. I mean, it's that physical pressure. And he knows when that's not there.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, it works so well. It doesn't hurt him. He just knows it's uncomfortable, and he will not pull when he has that prong collar on. And he can hear it too. He hears the prong collar, and he's just a different dog when I take him for a walk and walk.
Yeah, there's
dog.
Nothing wrong with. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that stuff. I mean, it's if you think about it, like we live our lives. Like, why don't you go 90 miles an hour in a 50 mile an hour zone?
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it's no different. It's just guardrails. It's not inhumane. It's just a tool to keep them in line.
There you go. Anything interesting happening at Rossburg Animal Hospital you want to share with us before we let you go?
Not. I mean, I feel like it's just been normal business lately. So
okay.
I got nothing to report other than good stuff.
Animal business is good stuff. Thank you very much, Dr. Ram Stewart, Rossbridge Animal Hospital, Dark Side of Pooch. We appreciate you.
All right. Thanks, Tony. Talk to you next time.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.